First, the English poet John Donne opined that no man is an island. While that may be true in many ways, during the physical distancing that we're practicing to try to stop the spread of COVID-19, we do in fact resemble islands more than ever. And that has an interesting impact on the millions of bacteria, funguses, and other organisms to whom we play host. Rob Dunn is a professor in the Department of Applied Ecology at North Carolina State University. He's the author of several books, including his most recent, Never Home Alone, From Microbes to Millipedes, Camel Crickets and Honeybees, The Natural History of Where We Live. Rob, good to have you back on Central Time.
Oh, it's great to be back on the show.
Well, first, can you remind us of the diversity of organisms that live in and on our bodies?
Well, so if we're just thinking about our bodies, so thousands of species of bacteria, tens to hundreds of species of fungi, at least a couple of species of mites, depending on where you live, maybe a worm or two on the insides, lots of protists, which are not bacteria, but also single-celled. And then there are things that we know almost nothing about. So for example, almost every bacteria species has a virus specific to it that only attacks it. And so if you have 1,000 bacteria species, you probably also have 1,000 viruses that attack those bacteria. So lots of species on you, Judith, but also all of your listeners.
And are most of those harmful or beneficial or just kind of neutral?
So the vast majority, So a pretty big hunk of those are beneficial. Then there are a bunch that are either benign or we just don't know what they do yet. And then there's a teeny, teeny, teeny proportion that are harmful.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's good. We're mostly covered by benign and helpful things.
We'd be in trouble otherwise. Well, what happens when we come into close physical contact with other people?
So when we come into contact with other people, we share microbes, we share mites, we share fungi, all of those things. And so as you go about your normal pre-COVID day, or as you went about those days, you can imagine a kind of network that would connect you to everybody you touched or came near to. And then there are species spreading among you. And obviously that's very different right now.
Right. So knowing that we routinely share the things living in and on us with people with whom we're in contact, what do you expect is happening now that we're, for the most part, maintaining much more physical distance from others and when we're avoiding things like handshakes, let alone hugs or kisses?
So I think it probably does a couple of things. So one thing that we've shown before is that the microbes that on parts of your body that you're most likely to touch other people or other things with, they change very frequently. And so I suspect right now they're changing less frequently because they're less exposed to other things that might hop on and try to colonize the skin of your hand or your elbow. So that would be one thing. Maybe there's a little bit less change in our bodies and the species on them. But the other thing would be to reflect upon what and who you are interacting with right now. So if you're sealed off from your neighbors and your students and everybody else, you know, are there other species that might be still passing species to you? And so if you're living home alone with a dog, the odds of your dog's microbes colonizing you probably go up because you're spending more time with your dog. And we know that back and forth happens. And so lots of kids who have dogs actually have gut microbes that are dog gut microbes rather than normal human gut microbes. And so that would be one of the things. But the other is, you know, are you doing something different in the kitchen? Are you being exposed to food microbes, kimchi and sourdough and wild fermented beers? All of these sort of features of our daily life that are changing who might be around us. And then the other question becomes, how long does this go on? Are these changes for weeks or months, as they've now been, or are they years? And the answers start to shift as that time changes.
I want to go back to that point about sourdough because it is kind of a joke of the COVID-19 social isolation and distancing that a lot of people, and I will say I'm one of them, has started baking with sourdough. And you write about how not only do we pick up some of the organisms that are living in sourdough, but whoever the baker is actually puts things into the sourdough starter itself. So it's this very interesting exchange. It's not a one way traveling.
Yeah, it's amazing. We did this experiment to study just that question, how much do bakers contribute to their sourdough in terms of their body microbes? And what we found is that when we had a bunch of bakers all make the same sourdough starter, and then we looked at the microbes on their hands and the starters, that we could detect an imprint of the bakers. There was kind of a baker microbe composition that passed from them to their bread. And we could also detect a flavor effect. And so, you know, Tom's bread has a different flavor than Susan's because Tom's hands have different microbes. But the other amazing thing that you allude to that we didn't expect at all is that when we looked at the hands of the bakers, they were different than the hands of anybody else we'd ever studied, in that their hands were covered with microbes that we usually only find in sourdough starters. And so by spending every day with the bread had actually changed their bodies in a pretty fundamental way. It meant that they undoubtedly smelled different. They were probably sick in response to different things. And so these daily acts in the kitchen, they change us.
We're talking right now with Rob Dunn. He's a professor in the Department of Applied Ecology at North Carolina State University. He's the author of several books, including his most recent, Never Home Alone. And we're talking about what physical isolation might be doing to the vast network of organisms that live in and on our bodies. And Rob, you mentioned something about it depends how long this goes on. And obviously, in the past, islands have played a role in the research into evolution. They were very significant for Darwin. And that, of course, is over many, many, many years that these species were developing separately on these close but isolated islands. What would you expect to see in our own bodies? Are there some of the organisms that are going to take advantage of maybe not having as much different competition? And are some going to maybe go extinct?
Yeah, so it's a fascinating question. So if you imagine we're all isolated, each of us or each of our families is like an island. And so we can imagine evolution happening in a different way on each island. And so one of the contexts in which I think this is interesting is with face mites. And so probably all adult humans have face mites. And because they mate really quickly, they have very short generation times, they evolve very rapidly. And we found that we can tell where in the world face mites have come from, what human populations, based on their unique genes. And so we suspect that if people were isolated for a while, you would actually see their face mites evolving along separate trajectories. You know, maybe if everyone in your family has very oily skin, that their face mites would evolve to take advantage of that. And if the family next door had very dry skin, you would see new species of face mites evolving right in your neighborhood. And there's a way in which that's beautiful. Obviously, the years of isolation that would require that for that evolution to happen, not beautiful at all.
You mentioned things like interacting with pets, maybe more because a lot of people are working from home. You mentioned things like sourdough. Also gardening. I found fascinating how much being in contact with soil can really affect what we have growing in and inside ourselves.
Yeah, soil affects us in a lot of ways. One of the ways is that it looks as though it's very important for young people to be exposed to many kinds of microbes to help their immune systems to develop and respond normally to the environment. And some of those microbes can be in soil. And so being exposed to those microbes sort of helps an individual become an immunologically well-balanced person. And so I think soil plays that kind of role. But we also know from studies of teens in Finland that teens that have more diverse plants outside of their houses end up with more diverse microbes on their skin. And so it looks like having those plants nearby is actually changing what's on their skin, much in the way that your sourdough does. And so to me, these things together sort of raise this question of, well, if our bodies are really telling the story of how we live, what we cooked, what we gardened, you know, what do we want them to tell about ourselves? And in these unusual times when we're so confined, I we do have this, some days, this pause to think, you know, what do I want my life to be like on the other side? What do I want the microbes on my skin to say about how I've lived?
Rob, are you worried about what's happening to our microbes during this, as you said, unprecedented time?
I think that my greatest worry is that is the extent to which people may overuse some of our most powerful antimicrobials when they're not useful. So that right now, wash your hands with soap and water, wear a mask, get vaccinated when vaccines are available, do all of those things. But don't take antibiotics if you don't need them. And because we need them for those cases when people definitely have a bacterial infection. And what we know from the past is that when people get worried about viruses, they often take antibiotics when they don't need them. And so I do worry about that. I worry about losing some of our powerful tools to control that subset of microbes that are bad news. I would say that's my greatest worry in the context of the loss of microbes. I have lots of other worries, but that specific one you asked about. You know, I do think we don't know very much about how many microbes are there out there on humans, in our foods, that are at risk of being lost forever. You know, are there special food microbes in some community somewhere that are only in that community and that nobody's sought to conserve? I do think about that, but that's a different kind of worry. It's sort of the love I have for biodiversity and all its manifestations and the worry that it's being lost out there.
Well, Rob, thank you so much. As always, really fascinating topic.
Oh, thank you, Judith. I love your show. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks so much. Rob Dunn is a professor in the Department of Applied Ecology at North Carolina State University. He joined us to talk about what effect physical distancing is having on the organisms that live in and on our bodies.